When the alleged Alito draft of an opinion striking down Roe v. Wade leaked last month, one of the more memorable responses came from Jaime Manson, executive director of Catholics for Choice. She pulled no punches in blaming the hierarchy for bringing us to this crisis point. Busy as she is, Jaime has found the time to be with us today, and so I am happy to welcome her to State of Belief Radio. Jaime, welcome, and thanks for doing this with us. Let me begin by asking, why is it important for Catholics and others to recognize the source of this misguided draft decision?
So the reason that I argue that the hierarchy is the source of the fruits of what we saw in the leaked decision 2 weeks ago is because the Catholic bishops were the first to start to really monitor the liberalization of abortion laws in the states in the late 1960s. And they were very concerned about it. And they created the Right to Life League, which is part of the what was then the National Council of Catholic Bishops, now the USCCB. And they used it. They were the first to use it as a political tool to animate their base. And it was the evangelicals who got the idea from Catholics in the mid-1970s. The evangelicals had really been activating their own base on segregation and on religious liberties around that. And that finally became too uncomfortable to keep beating a racist drum like that. It wasn't tenable anymore. And they needed what they called a respectable issue to pivot to, and saw the political success Catholics were having by trying to defeat pro-choice candidates and try to promote anti-choice candidates. And so that's what we see happening. You know, that's when they pivoted. Mm-hmm. They were inspired by that. Yeah. And in addition, the Beckett Fund, which has been the counsel in all of these cases that have gone before the Supreme Court, fighting for what I consider religious overreach. Yeah. And that is a Catholic initiative founded by a very Catholic man, and the Federalist Society, which has Catholic leadership. Leonard Leo is a very conservative, devout Catholic. Yeah. And he has been the one vetting all of these Supreme Court justices all of these years and putting them before people like Donald Trump. Yeah.
You know, activists immediately recognized the threats other groups face based on the language of that draft. Marriage equality, for example, could be reversed on the same grounds. And I imagine that would be no problem for the bishops.
Oh, absolutely not. No, this is their complete agenda, is to take their, what I believe is very hard right understanding of sex, sexuality, and sexual reproduction, and codify it into law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is we're all fighting the same ideology, which is the Catholic understanding of rigid gender roles, the Catholic understanding of the purpose of sex, which is always procreation. And the issue is that, you know, all of these protections we have for, you know, for contraception in Griswold, for abortion access in Roe, for same-sex marriage in Obergefell are all based on the 14th Amendment privacy rights. Yeah. And that does not enumerate those rights. And so until we have genuine equality guaranteed to us in the Constitution through enumerated rights, we're going to see this kind of religious overreach happening again and again.
There is such a tension between the beliefs of Catholics in the pews and the leadership of the church in this country. Would you talk about the effect that tension has in eroding trust among the faithful?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this has been, you know, this started really in 1968 when Pope Paul VI published Humani Vitae, banning all methods of artificial contraception. That was really the first big break, because we know 98% of Catholics use artificial contraceptives at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. Catholics in the pews felt that the church was not honoring their lives. and their challenges and their need to be able to control the timing and number of their children for the benefit of their families as an act of responsible parenthood, really. And so that was the first big break. And just, I think, to watch the bishops become so political and politically motivated, knowing they were losing moral influence over their own people. So trying to shift and get political influence, I think, is very distasteful to Catholics. And I would say the biggest break I've seen was last year when the bishops moved, the U.S. bishops moved to create a pastoral letter that would, in effect, ban people like President Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from communion. Even conservative Catholics were very disenchanted and disgusted by that move. So that the church actually, by the church, I mean the U.S. bishops, started a retreat, which is something I haven't seen them do recently. Mm-hmm. And so it's a remarkable chasm between the U.S. bishops, what they see as preeminent issues, and what Catholics understand are the important issues and what their values are.
What are the immediate steps that Catholics for Choice is taking in preparing for a possible reversal of Roe?
What we are doing is creating a whole curriculum for how to speak to Catholics about abortion. The problem is this issue is so taboo in our church. There are no inroads for this conversation in a parish, even in a Catholic university, even a liberal Jesuit Catholic university will not talk about abortion. And so we need to create those spaces to have those conversations. And we wanted to have the resources and the materials Catholics need to make their own moral decisions and discernments about how they feel about abortion. Mm-hmm. And so that for us is step one, is encountering Catholics who don't necessarily feel they're pro-choice or pro-life, because it is a morally complex issue, and honoring that place for them and giving them the information they need and creating the space for those deeper conversations to really change the narrative around abortion. Because one in four abortion patients in this country is Catholic. Catholics in the pews are having abortions, and our leaders are treating it like murder. So there's a profound spiritual violence going on too, a real pastoral crisis around abortion happening as well in our church.
Far-right quasi-religious outfits like the Family Research Council are firing up their obedient followers against companies like Starbucks for offering workers support in reproductive care. Killing Roe isn't enough for these people. They're ready to block all of the exits. What kind of faith-inspired organizing and preparation is happening in the pro-choice networks that you work with?
So what we are trying to do is create a very robust coalition of religious leaders of all denominations, Protestant denominations, Muslims, Jews, everyone, to really embolden the faith voice to say, we support abortion rights because of our faith, not in spite of it, and to not cede our faith to the right wing, this right wing that you're talking about. We believe we have the moral high ground here. And we have the moral credibility, because this is a profound issue of social justice. This is an issue of human dignity. And the fact is, we are fighting a right-wing religious force. And so people of faith have to rise up and say, you will not do this in the name of our faith. Mm-hmm. And so we're really bolstering our faith-based coalitions to get together and become very loud and very proud about our support for abortion access.
Jamie, how can Americans support those who will be most severely affected by this likely loss of reproductive rights in half of the states?
Yeah, well, they can start by voting, I think. We're a 501c3, so I have to leave it there. But I think that that's an important thing, is to make your convictions heard at the polls. And that's the one way to say that this is not where we want to see our country going. Again, we do not want to see religious overreach by radical right-wing religious forces. This is not our country. And I think we have to be really loud about that. I think we can support abortion funds, which are the people who are doing the actual provision of abortion care. You know, if Roe falls, 12 states immediately will have total bans. There's another, you know, 16 or more states that will have similar bans and restrictions that are going to be quite severe. And people will need to be able to travel. They'll need to be able to have care if they need later term abortions, to be clear. But also, you know, with the medical technology, you now can do your own self-managed abortion with pills. Mm-hmm. And so in the first 10 to 12 weeks. And so I think opening up networks to get these medications into the hands of women and other pregnant people will be essential. So I think that what we're trying to do as faith-based groups is create a new network. There was before Roe a clergy consultation service that in which faith leaders helped women get abortion care when it was illegal. And I think that we're going to try to recreate that for to meet this particular moment. And so I think to, you know, keep an ear to the ground about the way in which faith-based groups are organizing to provide that direct service would be something to listen to.
Tell our listeners how they can follow the work of Catholics for Choice and how they can support that work.
Great. Yes. So the easiest way to follow us is certainly take a look at our website, catholicsforchoice.org. And for more live, up-to-the-minute updates, certainly our Twitter, our Facebook, and our Instagram, and our TikTok, which is very popular for the younger listeners, are great ways to learn about our work. I think that one thing Catholics for Choice is trying to do is really distinguish ourselves in this movement to say, you know, honoring that this is a morally complex issue for people of faith and that there's nothing wrong with that. And that is not stigma. And that I think one of the reasons we're here is that there wasn't enough honoring of that in the pro-choice movement. Yeah. And to make space for dialogue, make space for people to ask questions without, you know, being immediately challenged or you know, having their good faith challenged, I think is important. So we really want to engage with people who are not sure how they feel, who are in a process of moral discernment. Certainly, we have a lot of Catholics coming to us who feel a certain moral obligation to talk about this because they see their church. You know, this is the fruits of a long battle, a long game played by our church and Catholic forces. So I think that's really important. So we're next month going to start releasing materials to help Catholics and other people of faith have deeper conversations about this, give them the information they need to do their own moral discernment and come to their own convictions.
Jamie Manson is Executive Director of Catholics for Choice, which has been promoting access to abortion in a Catholic context since 1973. Jamie, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Oh, it was a delight. Thank you for inviting me. We really are in this together, preserving this narrative of people of faith in this country.